Joe Bud from Gracia. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 23rd of October, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Last week, we reported that the Georgian Dream, or the Kotsebi Parliament, quickly passed a new law to target pro-European demonstrators who've been protesting for almost a year in front of Parliament. Instead of fining them 5,000 lari, which is about $1,800, for blocking the road, now police will arrest them for up to 15 days for that crime, as well as wearing masks or any other face covering. As soon as the law was passed, police started enforcing it. In just 2 days, they arrested 14 people. One of them is Vachos Sanaya, a famous journalist working for the opposition TV channel Formula. On Tuesday the 21st, Vaja Siradze, chief of Tbilisi police, said that in total, 42 people had allegedly broken the law so far, including for both blocking the road and wearing masks. Some of them have been arrested. Others have cases against them in court. On Friday the 17th, police raided the houses of former officials of the Kotsebi and people associated with them. This was pretty surprising news, as these people include Irakli Kharibashvili, who was prime minister twice under the Kotsebi and Bidzina Ivanishvili's most trusted ally for a long time, Rigo Liloashvili, who just several months ago was head of State Security Service, which is a crucial institution tasked with national security issues, but basically just used to spy on the opposition and maintain the ruling party's power. And Otar Partskhaladze, who was chief prosecutor for a brief time years ago, but is now best known for his business ties with Russia. None of them have been arrested or charged so far, but authorities are saying that 22 locations were raided and over $7 million were seized as part of an alleged anti-corruption operation, which under the Kotsebi usually means a loyalty questioning operation. On Monday the 20th, Gogi Gaharia's Party for Georgia, or Sakartvelos Tuis, announced it is ending its political boycott and will resume working in parliament as well as in municipal elections. In last year's parliamentary elections, they received 12 seats in parliament. Their results in this year's municipal elections were incredibly low, and they barely managed to cross the 4% barrier necessary to have representatives in municipal councils. Gogi Gaharia posted on Twitter that the events of the 4th of October, when a part of the opposition attempted to storm the presidential palace, were the final straw that showed the failure of the boycott, which left Georgia's people defenseless against the Kotsebi's growing authoritarian tendencies and repression. Gaharia said that his party is entering the parliament to reclaim political space and fight for the country's European future. Okay, Gogi. On Friday the 17th, Prime Minister Kobakhidze announced that his party plans to introduce what they are calling, quote, education reform, end quote. Main point that drew attention and criticism was the proposal to reduce Georgia's 12-year school education to 11 years. First, this might not seem like a big deal, especially since Georgia used to have 11-year system years ago in the Soviet period, but there's a catch. The whole reason why Georgia adopted a 12-year system was to align with European education standards. Anyone who wants to study for a bachelor's degree in Europe must now complete 12 years of schooling. Georgian schools no longer provide that. Students would need to study an additional year abroad in order to qualify for university admissions. This will drastically lower Georgians being able to study abroad. This is as yet another very clear step away from European integration. Next up, on Sunday the 19th, Germany's foreign minister decided to recall its ambassador to Georgia, Peter Fischer, for consultations after months of anti-German and anti-EU rhetoric from the Kotsebi. Tensions grew after Georgia's foreign ministry summoned Fischer in late September, accusing him of interfering in domestic politics and supporting what it called the opposition's radical agenda. After the meeting, Fischer rejected the accusations and said Georgia's ruling party caused the recent strain in relations and slowed the country's path towards Europe. He also said Germany remains a friend of Georgia despite the Georgian government's current approach. Ambassador Fischer is a hero. In other news, according to news report by Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, or ISFED, published a report on Monday the 20th, the ruling party paid over 1.5 million lari, which is over $500,000 US, to online media outlets linked to it between 2019 and 2025. These same outlets also received 4.3 million lari, or over $1.5 million, from the state budget. ISFED said at least 25 news agencies operate within the COSEBI's online media network, getting steady funding both directly from the party and through public contracts. Local governments and state agencies provided most of that money. The organization said these media outlets closely follow the ruling party's narrative, spread its message, and often take part in coordinated campaigns against the opposition. ISFED believes the goal is to replace independent online media with government-aligned outlets. Changing gears, Smartmatic, the voting technology company that provides electronic voting services for Georgia's Central Elections Commission, including during last year's contested parliamentary elections, now faces serious charges in the United States. U.S. Justice Department accused Smartmatic of bribery and money laundering, saying the company paid a $1 million bribe to a Philippines election official between 2015 and 2018 to secure an election contract. The case raises new concerns about the credibility of Georgia's electronic voting system, which relies on the company's technology. On Monday the 20th, Elina Valtonen, Finland's foreign minister and current chair of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, said that Georgia has more political prisoners per capita than Russia. She talked about the country's authoritarian trend during the EU Foreign Affairs Council. In our last show, we reported that she was in Georgia and attended a pro-European demonstration. Georgian authorities fined her for allegedly blocking the road during the protest. Prime Minister Kobakhidze said he canceled the meeting with her, though she, and she has a better record with the truth than Prime Minister Kobakhidze, she said that she canceled it. Valtonen wrote on Twitter that Kobakhidze was welcome to visit Finland anytime and attend any demonstration he wanted. On Wednesday, the 22nd, Mzia Makhlobeli, founder and manager of online media outlets Batum Alebi and NetGazeti, was awarded the Sakharov Prize for Freedom of Thought, the highest EU award for individuals who dedicated their lives to the defense of human rights and freedom of thought. Makhlobeli was sentenced to 2 years in prison for resisting a police officer during a pro-European demonstration in Batumi, Western Georgia. COSEBI has been on what they are portraying as an anti-corruption campaign for the past month, seemingly to rehabilitate its image, at least among its own voters and Imedi watchers. This time, the police arrested Zura Kakabadze, former president of the Georgian Football Federation. Authorities say that from 2019 to 2021, Kakabadze used the federation's business accounts for his private profit and gained almost half a million lari, which is over $180,000 this way. Proven guilty, faces up to 11 years in prison. On Saturday the 18th, police arrested a 19-year-old man in the capital for breaking into and robbing 12 cars in one night. All of the cars belonged to people living in the same apartment block. Gangs composed of teenagers have become a widespread problem in Tbilisi. They mainly target drug and tech stores for a quick profit. Since most of them are under 18, police are not able to arrest them, as prosecuting underage people is only allowed for violent crimes. Finally, on Tuesday the 21st, Reuters reported that the Russian company Rosneft shipped over 100,000 metric tons of oil to a Georgian refinery that opened just a year ago. This immediately raised suspicion that Georgia is increasing its dealing with sanctioned companies and goods. Britain sanctioned Rosneft just a week ago. In response, Georgia's Internal Revenue Service made a vague statement saying that they cannot say which company the oil belonged to due to trade secrets, but that it was not under international sanctions. They lied. The United States sanctioned Lukoil and Rosneft yesterday. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. This past Saturday, Rorschach held a trial of a new kind of gathering, highly structured but radically equal, very wild, no keynote speakers, no talking heads. Those who join decide who they want to talk to, but without knowing the identity of who they will meet. They propose and decide what they will discuss. Like we said, wild, interesting in what was. Check the show notes if you want to find out more and if you want to hold one in Georgia. Nachmandis.